Now we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, and Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. So let's declare the word of the Lord aloud together. Ready? 1, 2, go. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you again that we are here to honor you, that you increase and we decrease. And we pray that even as we come as God's people, Lord, we want to listen to your voice. So Holy Spirit, come and illumine our minds. Give us understanding. It is not only about what we hear, but what we do. So Lord, will you come and manifest the presence of Christ deeply in all our lives. And all God's people say, amen, amen. Please be seated. And like I said, we are coming to a new series on why belong to a church. It is so important for us to look at church life again, especially after pandemic. And you know what? Something like 40% of the people have come back on the average in the last many weeks. So 40% of you are back. And those watching this online, I want to urge you. If not, I don't want to beg you, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will put it into your heart that God's people need together. And if not, you're not gathering here, at least go and gather in your cell group. But 40% of our people have come back, and I pray that in the weeks to come, that will increase. But what is most amazing is this. I met quite a few people who said they have never come physically to DUMC before, but they joined us online. In other words, when they come to join us in DUMC here in the last few weeks, they're coming to meet people for the very first time. Face-to-face. And that's amazing to me. There are quite a number now I've met. In other words, they joined DUMC in a time where they could not be attending church like this physically, but they joined church online, and now today they are right here. You know, so we want to give thanks to God. So I think we should welcome every person, all right, who has joined church online, but now appearing here, you know, in person. All right, let's give the Lord a clap for that and to welcome them. All right. And I pray that this will be something that, you know, pandemic has allowed us now to do church in two different ways. One is to in-person, and many from even out of town, out of the country, who have been joining us online as well. So I want to welcome you. Now, earlier on, you know, we have looked at the number of people who have become members of the church. And they are all baptized into one body. Right? Baptism is not an individual affair. It is not the thing between me and God only. It is also between you and the body of Christ. That means the family of God. So it is not just an individual affair, but a corporate one as well. And so I want you to recognize that those who are getting baptized, you have joined a spiritual family. Those who become members of this church, you have joined a spiritual family. But here's the question I want to ask everyone, including people who are members of DUMC. Now, I have been in DUMC now for 34 years. Okay? I can count the number of years simply by remembering how many years I've been married, because that's the year I joined DUMC. Right? That's the year I got married. So I've been married for 34 years. I just celebrated our anniversary and 34 years. So I'm 34 years in DUMC and 28 years as a pastor. And I discovered, and I'm sure you discovered too, there's no perfect church, and all DUMC people say, well, you're very kind. Let me ask that again. There's no perfect church, and all in DUMC say, there's no perfect church, okay? But tell you what, you can have a spiritual home. You can have a spiritual family. You know, there's so many great churches out here, even in Klang Valley. There are many great and wonderful churches, and I know the senior pastors of these great churches, right? But my question to all of us here, now look at your neighbor right now. Just look at the neighbor around you, okay? Here's the question I want you to ask them, all right? Why do you join DUMC? Okay, of all the great churches around, all right? In Klang Valley itself, why did you end up in DUMC? Do you ever wonder? Have you ever asked that question? Now, after 34 years, I decide to ask myself this question again. Why am I in DUMC? And then given 28 years of my life, and finally to be the senior pastor of this church. There must be a good reason, and I know being here for 34 years, this church ain't perfect, right? There's so many things I wish can be done in a different way, but I tell you what, I love this church. And that is why, you know, I gave my life in full time in the last 28 years to serve this church. So my title is not senior pastor. My title is the senior servant. So I'm the senior servant of this church, okay? And because God has called us to servanthood. And so, like I said, there's so many great churches in Klang Valley. Why choose this one? Okay? So I hope that, you know, in this series here, we will give you a compelling reason why you came to DUMC and why you choose to remain in DUMC. So that is the reason for this series here. Because my friends, my senior pastor's friends that I have in all these great churches, you know, I meet them on and off in different functions, and some of us are great friends, and we used to joke with one another, you know, and I say to them, hey, some of my sheep goes to your church, please look after them, right? And then they would tell me also, oh, some of my sheep have gone to your church. So there's all this, what I call wandering sheep, okay, that moves around. But amongst the senior pastor, we understand this, that people can leave churches for the right reason or the wrong reason. We are not asking anybody not to leave churches. Among the senior pastors, we recognize that people will come and go. But we pray. We pray that they are leaving for the right reasons. Because maybe they could grow better in another church, and I celebrate that. I celebrate that you can go to another church and really grow in there. All right, and I would go up to the senior pastor, sometimes I would call them and say, so-and-so is in your church right now, will you please look after him or look after her? And that's the kind of kingdom mentality that we need to have. But I need to be introspective, because if people do leave our church, you know, what are some of the reasons why they would leave? Because we know that we are not everything to everybody. But I pray that we all have compelling reason why we are here in DUMC. So in the year 2020, you know, I preach a sermon, and if you really want to go back there and just re-look at this whole thing about the local church, it will really help you if you can revisit some of the principles in there. And I won't state it here in this series here, but I thought that it's important to just mention that as a local church, we have the spiritual authority, we are a safe home, we are an equipping station, and we have a global mission. And that's what every local church must be. Right? These are the four facets of a local church. And the call to the church is the same for every church. Right? There's no difference. Every church must have this call. And this call is basically the call of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. If you ask me what's the vision, what's the missions of the church, it can be summed up in these two things. That is the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Great Commandment, you know that, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So that is the greatest commandment. And the Great Commission is therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So if you are looking for churches, make sure these are the two things, the core, that is non-negotiable. And I put it in a simple tagline that, you know, you have been remembering this as well. What is, you know, what do we do as a tagline? We say to love God, to serve people, and make disciples towards Christ likeness. So that's our tagline, right? So in this series here, I would like to share with you, you know, why do you belong to DUMC for the first sermon? The second sermon is what can DUMC do for you? But we should not stop there. And the third sermon, all right, we will talk about what can you do for DUMC. So we want to just revisit this whole thing so that as our people now start coming back from 40%, and I pray it will get to 100%, as we now come back to church, right? What does DMC, being part of DMC, mean to us? So there are three things I want to share with you this weekend. One is a history. Give you a short, quick history of what we did. What have we been doing in the past? And then I'm going to talk about the theology behind why we are uniquely called the UMC, all right? Still holding on to the Great Commandment and to the Great Commission, but it's something unique about us in the theology that we are holding to. And then thirdly, I will give you an example of the practice of why we do what we do, because this is the same question many of you have been asking when you join the church. So let me jump into it. Number one is the whole area of history, what we did. Okay, so this is almost like a reminiscence of the 40 over years now as DUMC. Now, when we started in DUMC, we started as a small group church, okay? A care group, we call it care group. And it was something implemented at the very beginning of the church. Now, we were a small church, you know, of only about 20, 30 people, then grown to 50, to 100, to 200. We have care group every time, all right? We don't give up on our care group. And so that's how we started. And then, you know, we have already moved 5 times. Okay, we have 5 premises so far. So we were in Damansara Utama from 1980 to 1993. 2 premises, 2 venues in Damansara Utama, and then in Taman Mayang in 1993, and then we moved on to Sea Park until 2007. And in now, there's a very significant thing that happened in the UMC, and that happens in 1993. In 1993, we decided, as the Lord led us, to say that DUMC will be a cell church. So this is the part here which I want to explain to you, the history of DUMC, so that you appreciate the uniqueness of what DUMC stands for. And then from 2007 onwards, all right, then we now arrived in Dream Center right here. Okay, so there are 5 different venues that we are in, so I hope you appreciate the fact that, you know, this is not the only home that we have. We have already have 5 other homes. So we move house, in other words, in the last many, many years. Okay. Now, then, the milestone. So 1980 was the year that the church was planted. And then in 1986, there's something very important that happened in the life of the UMC. There is a move, a very powerful move of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are a good evangelical church, all right? And we are good, we preach the Bible, all right? But one thing we don't really have is to understand the workings of the Holy Spirit in His fullness. We believe there's the Holy Spirit, but we have not understood what it means to be moving in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to go into all the detail, but in 1986, there's a pivotal move of the Holy Spirit that changed the landscape of DUMC in 1986. And then in 1993, the Lord led us into this strategic adoption of a cell church, which I will explain to you what this is all about in this sermon. Okay? And then from then on, we begin to see the Chinese congregation, Bahasa, Nepalese, the Tamil, and the Myanmarese congregation. That is when, you know, this congregation was started, okay? And then, now, then when we adopted the cell church, now what do we, this is what happened. I want to give you a glimpse, okay? Now, this is a chart. All I want you to see is the trend, okay? Don't worry about the numbers. I know you cannot see it. But this is a 2014 chart. So I'm just to give you an example of what this means. Now, in 1994, and that is the launch of the cell church. Right? When the Lord gave us the strategy of the cell church, you begin to see that this is a graph of the total official church membership, meaning these are the people, like what you see just now, who came up here and said, I want to be a member of this church. So you notice that the moment we launch out into the cell church, you see the growth. All right? There's an amazing exponential growth that happens when we launch the cell church. So in other words, we begin to see that the Lord has given us a strategy, all right, that will bring, not, it's not about growing the church, it's about bringing people who do not know the Lord into the church and keep them, all right, and disciple them. All right, that is what the strategy of cell church does. So here we see, very importantly, a very pivotal time, not only the move of the Holy Spirit that then led us on to the establishment of the cell church as a strategic way of doing church. And then if you look at this chart here as well, about this is the number of cell groups in DUMC, with children and with our youth cell group. At the moment the church, the cell church was launched, again you see the same pattern, that because of the growth of the number of people, and then we added them on to all the cell group, and the number of cell group begin to grow. So what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say to you that something happened All right, in 1993, going on to 1994, they helped us to grow as a church and to disciple the people to be where they are today. So I want you to appreciate this is uniquely very DUMC, okay? Now, when I came into the full-time ministry in 1994, one of my main roles is to actually transit the church into the cell church, right? We are a good evangelical church. We have moved in the Holy Spirit, but how do we grow the church? How do we reach out and how do we retain and disciple the people? And the Lord led us to the Singapore Cell Church Conference. So I remember my first role as, you know, at that time I was called a care group director. One of the things, you know, the elders told me was go down to Singapore and learn all these things about cell church and come back and implement them. So for the next 5 years, that's what I did. I went down to Singapore and came back and started implementing all that we have learned, and the rest is history. So Singapore Cell Church Conference has a pivotal role in helping us to be where we are. And then they ran out of Cell Church Conference, no more already, right? And then we have to just figure things out as we move along to be until where we are today. Now, the other part which I've shared before in my previous sermon, which I will not elaborate on this, is that one of the reasons why we have cell group is that, you know, we at that time we were all very challenged to the fact that what if one day we were asked not to come to church? All right? Because we've seen that in the countries like China, for example, under communist rule, right? They tried to shut down the church. But 15 years later, the church grew 10 times, by the way. All right. The authorities tried to shut down the church. It wasn't even hindered in any way. But 10, 15 years down the road, the church grew 10 times. All right. Why? Because of the house church movement in China. In other words, as we learn, you know, these principles around us, at DUMC, we say, hey, I think we better get ourselves ready just in case. One day, if we were told not to come to church, all right, because what we pray it will not happen, but what if one day it happens, okay? What do we do as a church? And we learn, all right, from the house church in China to say the church can still go on, whether we can meet like this or not. And so we did that for many years, all right? And we don't know whether this actually works or not, you know. We don't know until the pandemic. When the pandemic hits us, suddenly we cannot come to church anymore. Yes, in some way the pandemic shut down our church, right? But it did not stop the church from moving. And so what do? We actually meet in homes. Everyone meet in homes. All right? And tell you what, I don't think I will not lose any member if they are attached to a cell group, because the cell leader became the pastor overnight. Right? So I want you to understand, this small group is a very powerful, the cell group is a very powerful way of ministering to people. So that was our history, knowing that pandemic now has proven to us that the cell church model is a very powerful model even for the pandemic. And I think the next move of the Spirit will be churches from around the world will begin to recognize this. Small group is the way to go, because we can no longer rely on huge events, huge venues. The real strategy in growing the church is really through the small group. So I want to give you a taste of what that means. And then, you know, our DNA today, if I were to sum up to you, you know, what our DNA is as DUMC, it can be summed up in these, you know, five things here. It's about discipleship. It is about doing life together. It is not just about coming to church. I think far too long, we have been telling people that church is about coming and joining a service, right? But we all know, in my earlier on when I preached about what local church is all about, I talk about church is not about attending church. Church is about belonging to one. And one of the ways we belong to one another is to do life with each other. So discipleship is a very important part of the life of every Christian through, you know, doing life together. And so the other part is being missional. Missional is not about going out overseas as a missionary. Missional, meaning that you are reaching out whether locally or overseas. All of us think like that. I was so glad to hear the testimony earlier on just now. The actual word was, you know, God has given me a new purpose. A purpose that will allow me to be ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very important that we all must think missional. This is the DNA of DUMC. You hear us often, right here, saying to you that reach out. Find opportunity to reach out to people around you. So that's being missional. Cell group, I already mentioned. And then experiential, meaning that I believe that we must not only know it in our head. I pray that when you join UMC, one of the DNA that we want to bring across is that you experience the power of God, of His presence, right? And it's something that it must happen here in our gathering. It must also happen in our cell groups and all the ministries that you're involved in. There must be the element of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And finally, we are a family church. This is an intergenerational church. In other words, whether you are young or whether you are old, you are all welcome here. And we want to pray that the younger one will learn to honor the older one, and even the older one will learn to honor the younger one just by the kind of style that we do worship, by the way we do ministry. We always say to those in ministry, consider the older one, consider the younger one. Let's learn how to be family together. Amen? All right. So that is our DNA. We are a family church. So that is the whole area of our history. I want you to know this is where we arrived at. And this is the reason I pray that you are here in the UMC. Now let's move on to the theology. The theology is the important part. So why we do what we do? So there are five areas I want to very quickly touch on. And that is, number one, is the whole area of the early church model. What does it look like for the early church? Can we learn something from that? And we took that and say, yes, we need to retain the scriptural understanding of what church is about. And then we also learn from Exodus, this whole area, there are principles, you'll be surprised, there are principles of corporate organization in the Bible. All right? So I'm going to show you that, and we actually are biblical in trying to implement that. And then there's also the whole area of body ministry, Ephesians, that everyone in DUMC, theologically, are to serve. Serving does not belong only to leaders. Serving is a domain of every person. And then, you know, there is a Methodist heritage of holiness and accountability. And finally, there's a need to be an understanding of the kingdom of God. Now, let me very quickly unpack that for you, what that means, okay? Now, in the whole area of the early church model, now, again, I preached this before. I just want to sum it up for you. These are the number of things that happen in the early church. When we study Acts chapter 2, they grow spiritually, they experience signs and wonders. And I want you to notice this part here. They love meeting together, right? They love meeting together daily in temple courts and homes. In other words, you know, the early church loves to meet together as a big group. They were meeting in temple courts. So this is a gathering like this, right? They meet in big numbers. Remember in the times of the book of Acts, how many people came to know Christ? At one go, all right? 3,000, right? 3,000. It was the size of the English congregation. In one day, 3,000 came to know the Lord, and they were meeting in temple courts, okay? But at the same time, they continue to meet in homes. So there were these two wings of the church. One is to meet daily in the big meetings, and the other one is that they meet daily in the homes as small groups, right? So this is a pattern from day one of the early church. So that is the book of Acts. And then we look at Exodus. Now, Exodus has a very interesting corporate organization model here, all right? I'm sure some of you have learned about that from Jethro's principle, I call it. Now, in Jethro's principle, here he talks about organizing the 2.0 million people, okay? Organize them into thousands, into hundreds, into fifties and tens. That is the organizational principle of Jethro. Because Moses was burning himself out trying to minister to many, many people. And Jethro, the father-in-law, came along and said, Moses, if you continue doing this, you will die. Right? You will burn out and die. So I want you to organize, put leaders over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and over tens. Let them handle the tents. Let them handle the small issues, the one that the rest cannot handle. Then it comes to you. I thought that's a great corporate principle here. Right? So that the leader does not get burned out and everyone does the work of ministry. And so here, they give you a model here. For example, in DUMC, that's how we are organized. Now suddenly you know, oh, is that why we have cell groups? Is that why, for example, we have what we call district, zone, sub-zone, and cell group? This is all modeled with the Jethro principle. And here you have, as a senior pastor, I am the senior pastor over about 5,000 over people. And there's no way I can minister to 5,000 of people. So I got help from my district pastors, who are pastors over the hundreds, and the zone pastors are pastors over hundreds. And then you have, you know, a zone leader who are leaders over 50s, and then finally cell leader who are leaders over 10s. So now this is not that we are so clever we figure this out. This is a scriptural principle. Now, some of you business people here, I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking in your mind, hey, pastor, this one look like MLM. All right? This is multi-level marketing. But tell you what, you know, the church lost it. The business world picked it up. It's actually a Christian principle. All right? And the world picked it up. So let's not be ashamed. All right? This is a Christian principle of organization, and it has worked very well for DUMC. Now, then let me come to this whole area of body ministry. What do I mean by that? All right. So here we read on earlier on this passage of scripture. Now, I want to highlight that part here where it says to equip his people for works of service. So what's the role of pastors? What are the roles of leaders in ministry? The role is not for them to do the work. What's our role? What's the role of every pastor here and every zone leader in DUMC or cell leader? Your role is to equip your people to do the works of ministry. It's a reminder over and over again to us that the works of ministry doesn't belong to those who are super spiritual. Everybody is spiritual. All of us do the work of ministry. That is why we keep telling you, right? Serve. Serve in church, right? When you're out there in a marketplace, serve there as well. Remember, your calling to the marketplace is also to serve where you are working. So our posture is always to serve. Our role in church is to equip you in order to serve. You understand this part? It's not for you here to come here and just receive and feel good about your Christian faith and walk out and not doing anything about your life. So our role is to keep you as theologically, that is something that we hold on to. And then in our Methodist heritage, of course, John Wesley, we are a Methodist church, and we learn so much from the founder of the Methodist church called John Wesley. And he organized, interestingly, when you look at the history of the Methodist church, where it had a couple hundred thousand people came to know the Lord. And you know what? John Wesley used the same principle. So what we're using today is not something, you know, new. It is something already done in the founding of the Methodist Church, where John Wesley organized the churches into society, into class, and band. Doesn't that look familiar? All right? It's the same kind of organizational principle, because one person cannot do everything. The Church of Jesus Christ mobilized every person to do what they need to do, and there's great accountability within the Methodist Church as well, where they issue, for example, for baptism, before you can even participate in Holy Communion, every member of the Methodist Church must hold a ticket, right? And that ticket allows you to have communion. Now, he's a strict disciplinarian, John Wesley, but I think it makes a lot of sense that you cannot participate in communion if you're living a sinful life, all right, and you are disobedient to the Lord. And so the cell leader, all right, the band leader or the class leader would interview a member every 3 months. And he will ask you questions about your Christian life. And only if you satisfy what he's asking you, he will issue you a ticket. And with that ticket, you can then have communion. Wow, you look at it, you say, it happened today, very few people in church are there. Okay? But that was the kind of discipline they had. And no wonder the Methodist movement became a movement that lasts a few hundred years. It's amazing what God has done through the holiness movement of the Methodist Church. I want you to realize that this is not something that's new for DUMC. It has been done, all right, for many years ago. Now, the most important thing theologically is to understand this whole concept of the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this, because often we don't realize what the kingdom of God means. Therefore, we cannot see the relevance of church, all right, for us. So, for example, all right, in the kingdom of God, now most of us, when we become a Christian, all right, we all try to be a good Christian, right? We want to walk the Christian path. We want to do what is right. And we sort of survive, all right? So that finally, when we hit the end point, you know the end point, right? End point is when you finally die, okay? You will either go to heaven or to hell. So you tell yourself, right? Now, when I walk this path towards that point there, you know, I know sometimes, you know, I will do things that are wrong. They'll be doing things that are right. But I pray that somehow along the way, every child, I'm doing all good. Now, that's the thinking of a lot of Christians. They think that, you know, as long as I arrived at that point, trying to do some good, then when I arrive, do what I call the average good. Attend church, serve on and off, do good, you know, and not really understanding why on earth are we here. And I tell you why on earth we don't even realize this, because we don't understand the concept of the kingdom of heaven. So how do we make a compelling story of our mission on earth? Do you know there's a compelling story of the Church of Jesus Christ to remain on earth? And do you know that the majority of Christians don't even understand this? That is why we're very half-hearted in being part of any church, because we don't understand. So I want you to listen to this very carefully. So I'm going to start with this particular verse here. It says there, the beginning of the good news. Why don't we read aloud together this verse here? Okay, ready? One, two, go. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it's written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Okay. Now, who is this writing about? Jesus. Now, I want you to notice this here. All right. This particular line there, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Now, very interestingly, all right, in this particular verse here, I will send my messenger ahead of you is taken from Exodus 23, verse 20. All right. And then, who will prepare your way is taken from Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Okay. And then, we move on to the next one. A voice of one calling the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him, is taken from Isaiah 40, verse 3. Now, very interesting, when you look at that entire verse, this is that these three verses here is the entire narrative of God's people. What do I mean by that? You know, from Exodus 23 is about deliverance of God's people from Egypt, right? They came out of Egypt from slavery into the promised land, and they did such a bad job being God's people. Huh? We all know that story, right? So much so that God says, enough is enough. They were exiled, right? For how many years? 70 years they were exiled. And then they came back to Israel because God delivered them back. And from then on comes the path of the Messiah, right? So we all are familiar with that story. And right after that is Isaiah proclaiming right in the middle, all right, from Exodus to Malachi, that God will make a way out through the Messiah. So interestingly, you know, when we read this, we jump right into John, all right? In verse 14 to 15, it says there, John was put in prison. This is John the Baptist. He was put in prison, and Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Now, right after this passage here is John the Baptist. And he said this, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. So this is what Jesus said. When John was put into prison, he has heralded the coming of the Messiah. He said, the kingdom of God has come. This is the good news. So what's the good news? What's the good news? So let me explain to you what this good news is, right? So here, let's move back to Genesis. When heaven and earth were created, we were one. The heaven and earth were one. Now, heaven is not just some place you go to when you die. Eh? Okay? It is something that arrived in Jesus. We must remember that. So when we talk about heaven, now, if I were to ask you, where is heaven, where would you point? Where would you point? Everybody point, where's heaven? Right? You always point upwards, right? But the heaven is not a physical dimension, you know? Right? Heaven is actually another dimension. It's a different dimension altogether. It's not up, it's not down, it's just another dimension, okay? And all we know is that in the time of Adam and Eve, when heaven and earth were one, okay, heaven and earth was together. They were one. Because God could interact with Adam and with Eve. Right? And God came down to the garden and interacted until one day God called out to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Right? Where are you? What happened there? Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the moment they sinned, this is what happened. Okay? Sin came into the picture and separate heaven and earth. And because we want to do our own things, right? Men decided that they don't need God. And therefore, through that, sin came into the picture. And therefore, heaven and earth are now separated. Remember the story of the Tower of Babel? It was men trying to be God. They don't want God. We don't want God in our life. Therefore, there is a separation. But I tell you what, God loves us so much that He wants to pursue us. He wanted a space to interact with men. Do you know that even in His heart, although God is a holy God, He cannot be in the presence of men who are sinful. But yet, He wanted to create a space. And this space here is a very interesting space that overlaps heaven and earth. Now, where is that space? Okay. Now, that space can only overlap through animal sacrifices. Only when animals are sacrificed that this blood of the animals will absorb the sin of man. And in absorbing that, okay, in that part, it is called the Holy of Holies. It is that sacred space that man can meet with God. And we see that in the tabernacle, we see that in the temple, and it's every year, annually, that the high priest will go in there and he will be in the presence of God only once a year, right? And that's a sacred space. That's where heaven exists on earth, okay? So let's move on there, because that animal sacrifice is a foreshadow of what? It's a foreshadow of Jesus, of Christ. And here in this foreshadow, Jesus is basically saying that because of me, remember, heaven is in Jesus. And when Jesus came, He carries with Him heaven. All right? And here, interestingly, in James chapter 3, verse 6, it says that the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, we all know hell is a place where those who do not put their trust in Jesus will go one day, right? So that hell has not been created that yet, not yet. We know that from the book of Revelation. But do you know here in the book of James, it also talks about the fact that here in this idea here is the tongue, all right, can also be a fire, world of evil, it itself set on fire by hell. In other words, because of the sin of man, not the hell, eventual hell, but we are creating hell on this earth by the evil of man. All right? That means there is hell here. Now, where is this hell that we see right now? We see that every day of our lives. We see the broken relationship. We see the pain of people. We see the murders, the killing. Right? We see all the things that humans do to another person, a glimpse of hell. Do you know that? And that is why, you know, while on earth, we are already having a glimpse of what hell is all about. And that is why when Jesus came, do you know what He's trying to do here? It says that the Word became flesh and make His dwelling amongst us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what does that mean? In other words, Jesus became the tabernacle. He is the tabernacle. Now, very interestingly, although He's the tabernacle, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling. Remember, dwelling is actually the tabernacle of God. So Jesus is a dwelling, the heaven of God, and He did not contain Himself only in the Holy of Holies. He went out into the people. Right? So He brought heaven now to the people around Him. And in that overlap space that He took out to the people, you see signs, miracles, and wonders. You see people giving their life to God when they are reconciled in their life with God. And you see, you know, sinners being forgiven. Why? Because Jesus went out. He carried heaven with him. So he's basically saying this, that the kingdom of God has come near. In fact, he asks us to pray. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here is a very powerful understanding here, that when Christ came, he brought heaven to earth. Now, we know that the kingdom of God is not yet. It's here, but not yet, right? So where is the here? The here is us. We now have Christ in our lives, just as Jesus did by being with the community that do not know him, all right? God has now put the church who carries the presence of Christ. We carry heaven in that sense with us. And now, all right, we are in the world to bring heaven. That is why phrases like kingdom invasion comes in. That the church of Jesus Christ are now in the community dealing with the power of Christ, anger, lust, greed, and pride. And many of us here, God has taken the hell out of us. Right? We are all transformed today. Amen? How did God do that? The Holy Spirit. And therefore, if you look at it, the church is the kingdom of heaven. Right where we are at, invading, all right, the world that is without Christ. And that is the purpose for church. And when we understand that God has used the church to be the kingdom that is here, but again, not yet. You know what the not yet is? We have just gone to Revelation, right? But one day, the kingdom of God will be manifested physically. Whereas now, the kingdom of God is in our hearts, in the collective hearts of the church. And no matter where we go, when we do impact project, when we do, you know, evangelism, you know what's our purpose? Our purpose is to bring heaven to the world that is hell. Amen? And that is why it's so important for us to recognize that we are to be missional. Missional in bringing heaven to earth. And one day there's a new heaven, a new earth, and hell will be created, where those who do not know Christ will go to, and that is truly now the physical kingdom of God. But now, not yet. We all carry the kingdom. So church, that is why you need to be part of the body of Christ. When we understand this, it becomes really, really powerful. And so I've talked about the history, I've talked about the theology. Once we get the theology, then we begin to practice it, right, in different ways. So I just want to give you an example. Cell group is not the only thing that we implement this concept of bringing heaven to earth. There are many other things we do, but I think the cell is something that we are saying, is something that is powerful, that we can continue to disciple our people towards. Okay? So how do we do it? Now, here is something that I want to close with. All right? There is a philosophy of why we do what we do. Because many of you, when you join UMC, you find it very strange. Why is it that they keep asking us to join cell group? Right? And I want to explain to you, in the practice part of it, why cell group is so very important. So here's a philosophy statement. Now, many of you may not have even read it, but by the way, this is in our website. Okay? If you read it carefully, this is what it says there. Cell group become the basic building blocks or communities for all church ministries. The church is a form from them and is a sum of them. Cell groups never grow larger than 15 people. Now you realize, huh? Now you realize why it keeps asking you to multiply, right? Because that's a philosophy statement that we have, all right? It doesn't grow larger than 15 people and multiply as the richest figure. There are no other activities that exist in competition with the cells. Everything in the church is an extension of them and flows from their combined strength. Our philosophy of ministry is in accordance to Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, which in essence requires that all members or regular worshippers of DMC be part of a cell group so they can be involved in the ministry of edification, that means building up on one another, and then evangelism outwards, the works of ministry. Now, I know this may be a bit confusing for you, but let me just sum it up for you what that means. in the different ways. So the first thing is this, huh? Everyone belongs to a cell group. Okay? So in other words, if you're not part of a cell group, you're not really into the UMC. That's what we're trying to say. Okay? Because we are a cell church. So everyone belongs to a cell group. And secondly, the cell group exists hand in hand with the corporate worship. So we are telling you, don't just come to this big meeting. Please go to the small home meeting as well. So that's what our philosophy statement is saying. Okay? So you hear that language all the time. Now thirdly, the cell group, now this is interesting, the cell group is the church. Huh? I thought church is here, ma? Right, everybody gathers. I mean cell group is also church. Hey, that's the theological understanding, ecclesia. The word ecclesia means gathering of God's people. Where there is a gathering of God's people, that's church. So never see your cell group as a sub-church. Huh? It's fully church. Whenever God's people meet together, you are church. So when you meet in the cell group, look at each other, hey, we are church. Right? This is church in action. Right? So that is our theological stand. And then the next part is the group will multiply into two when it grows more than 15. Why? Simple. Actually, it's quite simple. The larger the group, the more informal and impersonal it becomes. In fact, I noticed that one of the patterns in cell groups is this. Huh? When you grow anything beyond 20, do you know everybody takes turn to come? Everybody, right? And then when you grow to 30 people, the attendance is still 15 every time, 12, 15 people. Why? Because everybody is saying, okay, I'll take turns to come. Right? Whereas when the group is smaller, when you don't turn up, it's very obvious. You begin to be more urgent about attending. So that is why we make sure that cell group multiply. And then the next one is no regular activity that exists in competition with the cell group. In other words, we will not put on something that will compete with the cell. Okay? And that is our philosophy. So even when we have a Friday night meeting, for example, here, prayer meeting or some special meeting, we still tell you, don't close your cell, no. You come here as a cell group. Your cell meeting is in this event that we're going to. It's still a cell group. We don't create an event that compete against you. Okay? And then every member is a minister. In other words, we want to equip you. Right? Don't always call the cell leader or call your pastor to do the works of ministry. If you do not know how to do it, we will equip you. And that is why DUMC is an equipping church. We have so many courses to teach you on how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to be a leader, and how to do ministry, how to cast out demons even, and how to do idol removal, and how to do so many things which you can do. It's not restricted, you know, just to leaders and pastors. And then finally, the cell purpose can be summarized as two things. We are there to build up one another and also to evangelize. This must be the core great commandment and the great commission. So there you have it. Now you know why we emphasize so much on the cell group. Because the cell group will help disciple you. Amen? So here's a simple practical application. You know, for a church, right? Many people come to church, you know. I just glance across. There's something like, I don't know, I saw about 6 to 7 hands that went up to say, I'm new here. So a lot of people will come to a church, by the way. Any church, small church or big church, they all love to come to church. But as much as people enter, they also exit. So you may have 100 visitors to your church, but the numbers still remain the same. Why? Simple arithmetic, right? 100 people come in, 100 people go out. Right? New people may join, but old people go out. Right? The older people go out. So the net effect, that is why you see many churches, that although there are many visitors, but very little growth. Why? Because people are going out, right? As much as they come in. So the simple principle is, therefore, there's a wide front door and a wide back door. There's a church never grow. So what do we do? Right? You don't need an intelligent mind to figure that out. Narrow the back door. Correct? So how do you narrow the back door? Right? So the narrow the back door is very simple. If people come just to attend the service and be so-called entertained by good worship, by sermons, and all that, they will not last long in church. In fact, they'll move on to another church very fast. But if you give a sense of belonging to people, that they have brothers and sisters in the church who come alongside and help them, and this will be the factors that will help a person remain. And the reason why I'm still in UMC for now 34 years now is simply because, you know, I have a great family of God here. I would never see myself being away from this family because this has become family to me, to my wife, and to my children. These are great families that I have. And that's the reason why I never left it, right? And for all I know, I think you will also do my funeral, right? It's important to recognize that, you know, this is a church I belong to. So you narrow the back door by giving relationship to people, okay? So here's the reason now, why, you know, we do what we do. So remember that, you know, when you first joined UMC, you want to serve, you want to get married. Some of you, I see that you just got married not too long ago. You want to go on mission trip. You go out to Pastor Kevin and say, I'm excited about mission. I want to go to mission trip. Yeah? And then there are people who say, I want to get baptized. Okay? Or I want to be part of the UMC. Okay? So what do we ask you to do? Now you hear that over and over again. We say you must be a member of the church, right? You must be a member of the church. Why do we do that? Why does the UMC make it so difficult for you to be part of what we do? Because we love you. Because we want you to be really part of this family where you can grow. And the only way you can grow really well is that you're part of a small family. A family, a spiritual family of God. And cell groups become a very important part. So we say you need to be a member of the church. So you very quiet, very obediently, you go to the counter, you take the form, right? And when you take the form, okay, you fill in that form and you notice that one of the columns says, signed by cell leader. In other words, we need you to be in a cell group. So we encourage you to go and join a cell group and you must attend it at least 4 times, you know, before, you know, the cell leader will sign it to say that you are serious about why, because you really believe that this is the best good that we can do for you. It's not just about attending church, but being part of a cell in order to be a member of the UMC. And then you attend the required course, and all the people who are becoming members here have attended this course, all right, on the weekend as well. They go and learn about baptism, about their faith in Christ, and they attended a weekend away, and then they are interviewed by the zone pastor. Now, let me tell you why this is so important. Because I have found that over the years, there's a difference between a decision and a salvation. You see, when you say a prayer to follow Christ, you know, many of us did that, okay? We say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and all that. Yes, that's great. That's an amazing thing that you did. But what's the problem when you just say the sinner's prayer? The problem is that you went back to your old life immediately after that. That's the problem. And no wonder we see in Church of Jesus Christ, there are many people who are birthed very badly because they are not part of a community to help us help them along. All they did was to become a Christian, so-called, by a prayer, and they live on the life like they always used to live. And they never get themselves accountable to another group of people. And that is why in DUMC, cell group is so important to help you grow in Him. You know, and David Paulson, for example, in this book here, and I'm going to end with this, he talks about, you know, many Christians are birthed wrongly. In other words, they have a very bad midwife. And the child comes out, the baby comes out, all very badly birthed. And no wonder when they grow into adult, they have all kinds of issues in their life. And I agree totally with David Paulson. He says there are 4 basic things that we must help Christian with when they become Christian. Is to first repent. And they must be solidly understanding what their belief is all about. And then get them to baptize. Although baptism in water does not save you, but is an outward indication of your inner reality. So that when you get baptized, you are serious about your faith. And then finally, we pray you will receive the Holy Spirit. And we pray for you. Because the Christian life cannot be led, you know, by your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so, here are the reasons why we are the UMC. I know I can take another few hours telling you the detail of it. But I thought it's important for me, post-pandemic, I hope it's post-pandemic soon, as the church now get back, you know, to in-person and really seeing what God, the potential God has for us, not only physically, but also digitally. There's so many opportunities God has given to us, church. This is one thing I want you to remember. You carry the kingdom of God with you. right? You carry the kingdom of God that can, you know, influence the life of people around you and get the hell out of them. Because we have the presence of Christ in our lives. Amen? And this is what I want all of us to do this weekend and the next two sermons as well. We want to rededicate ourselves as a church. We want to come before God and say, God, what an amazing opportunity you've given to all of us here. What an amazing opportunity I do not want to miss out. I do not just want to come to church and just attend a weekly service. I want to be part of this spiritual family that is useful for the kingdom of God. Now, if you are with me on this, and I'm doing this myself, all right, I want to rededicate myself to the Lord. I want to say to the Lord, God, use me. Use me powerfully as an extension of your kingdom so that whatever that I do, people will experience heaven in their life. Amen? And we experience heaven when we bring Christ to them, because only Christ can give them that heaven. And I pray that all of us will dedicate our lives to doing that, whether here serving in different ministry in the church or out there in your marketplace where you're working, that's ministry, by the way. And whether you're at home in the community that you're coming from, that's ministry if you're a homemaker. Everywhere we are, we carry the heaven of God, the heaven of the kingdom, and we begin to touch lives. And that's what I want all of us to rededicate our lives to. All right? So why don't we stand right now? We stand and we ask God, individually, all of us here, we just ask God, Lord, what would you have me do? Some of us here who are not part of this family yet, you are sort of looksy-looksy, you are not very sure. But I want to challenge you. Be part of this family if the Lord has called you to this family. Don't just, you know, be an arm's length away from us. We want you to be part of us. And do join the cell group. In fact, we have online, we have given you a link to join the cell group. And outside also, you know, there's a booth for you to go and say, how can I join a cell group? This is where you start. And I pray you will start that way, where you have a community of God, people, God's people with you. So let's just come before God. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. And I want to pray a prayer blessing over every person here. That as we begin to understand what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about, that we invade the kingdom of the devil with the kingdom of Jesus. And we must be fully convinced that we are part of this kingdom. And you're not a Christian here. You are not part of this kingdom. And the way you can be part of this kingdom is to have this Jesus in your life. Because only Jesus can bring heaven into your life. And the way you do it, remember I talk about the decision? The decision is to say, Jesus, I want to begin this journey. I want you to help me. I want to help you to help me to move into this kingdom. And the way you move into this kingdom is to say a simple prayer. Remember, it's a journey of faith. So thank Jesus for dying on the cross for you. Because on the cross that He now made you part of this kingdom. And you ask for His forgiveness. And you repent. And ask God to help you not to live your former life. And if that's the desire of your heart, just simply by that desire of your heart, I believe God heard you. And we want to help you in this journey. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, every hand is lifted up to you right now. You know the conditions of our hearts. You know whether we are fully committed to the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the church that you died for. You paid with your life. God, forgive us if we have not taken this seriously. And we pray that, Lord, this evening, help us, Lord, we pray. Some of us need to be part of a cell group. Some of us need to be baptized. Some of us need to be serious about our faith. We have drifted away. Whatever the condition of your heart, if you are honest and sincere in your hearts and cry out to the Lord right now, Holy Spirit, help me. I believe God will listen to you. So as your hands are stretched out to the Lord, will you offer your life to God? Say, Lord, this is my life. Just as all those who went through baptism, He said they have died to themselves and live for Christ. So Lord, we want to rededicate our lives to you right now. This weekend, Lord, help us remember you've given us a purpose. A purpose that, Lord, you may use us to be part of this kingdom that will bring blessing wherever we go. And that's our desire, Lord. So seal that into all our hearts so that, Lord, we are serious about our faith, serious about being church, and serious about, God, reaching out to many out there who do not know you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. And let's close with this song. Let's sing this song as a dedication to the Lord. And I'm going to close in a short while. Let's sing this as a dedication to you. I believe, church, when we come before the Lord with a renewed heart, God hears that. And God's going to use you to be such a powerful conduit of His life to many who needs Him. Thank you, Lord.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Sing holy, holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Yes, Lord, that's our desire. Our desire is that we stand in awe and wonder of who you are. And give us a glimpse of that, Lord, we pray. That even as we come before you right now, Lord, dismiss us, God, with that blessing. The blessing to know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that, Lord, you will use us and make us useful for the kingdom of God. So let this message, God, be much in our hearts about Jesus. So that, Lord, even throughout the week, we look around us. How can we bring heaven into the lives of people around us? So God, give us opportunities to reach out to someone, to share with someone about this Christ that is in us. And that's how we allow the kingdom of heaven to invade us. Give us this glimpse, God. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a great weekend.